Well, my dear friends, first of all, I'd like to thank you for your attendance. I do pray, first thing I want to say is, pray to the Holy Ghost and to our Blessed Mother that they give us the grace to make this retreat a fruitful one. I pray that the Holy Ghost will reward your humility for having come to a retreat that is preached by a priest that has been a priest for 3 years at the most. Your humility will be rewarded, I hope. Very important, though, I think, for myself, in order to make a successful retreat, I always find it better to preach it to yourself. So I'm the first recipient of this retreat. I'll be doing it myself, and I hope that by doing that, it also translates to you. I think it's very important to come to a retreat as to a sermon with the proper spirit. And the main thing that I would mention about that is humility. If I come to a sermon with humility, I can rest assured, or to a retreat, I can rest assured that our Lord will give me fruits. If I come to be entertained or to judge whether if this was good or the sermon was better than this or that priest, if I come with pride, you can rest assured, I can rest assured, there will be no fruit. Let's say that I come with humility to the sermon and the sermon is very, very bad, and I get nothing from what the priest said. I relate to nothing absolutely. If I come with humility, I will say to myself, well, maybe I am such a sinner that I don't deserve God to speak to me. I've been so unfaithful to grace that maybe God will not give me any more right now, and I need to humble myself more. The sermon was bad. I got nothing from it, perhaps, but because I was humble, I will come out of it with great fruit, and I will try to improve my life. I'm giving an extreme example. But so it is very important for us to come with humility, all of us, and if we do, our Lord will give us graces. One quick question that we need to ask ourselves is this: what is the purpose of the retreat? Why am I here? And you all have answers, I'm sure. You might say, well, I come here to refresh spiritually. I come here to renew my spiritual life. I come here to grow in devotion, in grace. A good spiritual retreat has as its main purpose conversion. The spiritual exercises were, you could say, formalized by St. Ignatius of Loyola. The idea, the concept of retreating from the world to pray, to do penance, to benefit, that was from before St. Ignatius, of course. But St. Ignatius put a method to it. He gave it a form, and he was the one that made it very popular. The method that we're going to try to follow is based on St. Ignatius and what he did. But just to give you an idea of how this can only be but a taste of the retreat of the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. The exercises of St. Ignatius would last for 40 days. We're doing 3, not even, 2.5. In modern times, they summarized the spiritual exercises to 8 days. You can see that we can only get a very little glimpse. This is but a taste of what spiritual exercises should be like. However, what we don't have with time, we have to supply with intensity. We have to make up for that with the intensity of our prayer, our meditation, our effort. I was saying then that the spiritual exercises have as their main purpose conversion. And you might say, well, Father, I'm not a sinner. I think I'm a good Catholic. I can't see exactly what conversion would mean for me. I go to Mass every Sunday. I have my family, or I'm a young man, or that. I'm a good Catholic. I pray my rosary. what would conversion mean in my case? Well, in our lives, we all have perhaps a moment of a great conversion, but there are also small conversions that we always need. The degree of perfection that we can reach in this life is limitless. At least theoretically, it is limitless. So yes, there are many things that we can convert into. What might it be? It might be a decision that I have been always considering and I never really put into action. Maybe I know that I have a TV on my house that distracts me, that is an occasion of sin, that separates my family. I've never given it up. Maybe I know that I'm sort of addicted to social media or to the internet, and that really has an effect in my spiritual life. Maybe there's a sin or a temptation that has been always weighing on me, and I've never fought it strongly. Maybe I haven't chosen my state of life. Maybe I'm a young man, and I don't know whether if I should marry or be a priest or be a brother or be single and sanctify myself in that state. The point to be made then is, in this retreat, what you're seeking for, what we came here for, was to make a decision. What decision you need to pray to the Holy Ghost that He enlightens you, and that includes myself. I need to think of what it is that I need to change in my life, and I have these 3 days to get as many graces from God as I can to do it. Not just think about it, do it. Resolve to do it. That is the point of a spiritual retreat. In the retreat of St. Ignatius, in his exercises, he divides them, you could say, in the same way that the spiritual life is divided. There is a stage of a purgative way, you could say, then the illuminative way, and then a unitive way. Let me explain each one of those. And this is how our retreat is divided as well. At first, there is a stage of darkness, sorrow for sin, penance, pain, contrition. Then, after that stage passes, we come to a state of following Christ. That's the illuminative way. I start learning about the gospel. I start learning about what our Lord taught. I start making the decision to follow Him. And then at the end, I do have, that would be Sunday, I do have a moment of joy, of motivation, of happiness, of resolution. Now I know what I want, I know what I will do, and I'm happy about it. I'm happy about following our Lord. What this means is that in these different stages, it is absolutely important that you bend all your being into that particular spirit that there is. So today, tonight, we begin with the part of contrition, of sorrow for sins, of thinking of death, thinking of hell, all the part of the purgative way. And that means your mind should be focused on that. Your actions, your demeanor should be focused on that. When you go to sleep tonight, think of death, think of hell, think of your sins. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing as you wake up, say, make the sign of the cross immediately. Think of hell, think of death, think of your sins. Put yourself, and this I will explain, put yourself in a spirit of contrition as deep as possible. In the normal spiritual exercises, I went to one actually. What the priests do, they expect you to receive the gift of tears. So usually it's 8 days, and usually by Wednesday, they expect you to have cried for your sins. That doesn't happen to everyone, but at least to have experienced a deep, intense sorrow. I'll have a funny story about this. This was in Mexico. There was a spiritual retreat like that. And one guy went who was a very tough farmer, you know, farmer from like the toughest parts in Mexico. And he went, and the second day, he was just in the retreat. And the second day, this guy next to him started weeping. And he said, ah, Palero. Palero is a guy that you bribe so that he pretends, you know, to laugh or to do whatever it is that you're trying to do. So he said, ah, this guy he's just, you know, playing along with them. Like 2 days later, everybody's just kneeling in front of the pews, everybody's quiet, but now everyone is peaceful. And out of the blue, this guy just starts sobbing and sobbing and sobbing in the middle of the church. And everybody found that a bit funny. So you don't have to have tears, but the point is, your goal during this stage is to achieve as deep as contrition for your sins as possible. In a normal retreat, usually you would do a general confession. We might not be able to do that. You see the number of people that we have here. So that might not be possible. But at least prepare a confession where you confess the sins that you're most ashamed of. Try to do a confession where you feel the most sorrow you can for your sins. Even if it's very short, even if you just confessed a few of them. But try to make a confession that is for you like a little final judgment here on earth. The deeper your sorrow, the more fruit you will get. After that comes Saturday, the next part of the day, tomorrow, that we'll start talking about the following of our Lord. And that part is a part not of contrition anymore, but now tension. Now it is tension. What does that mean? We're going to present for on the one side the devil, on the other side our Lord. And you have to force yourself to decide in this particular decision that you're seeking, that you're trying to make. Who am I going to follow? Am I going to follow the devil or Christ? There is that tension. And then, as I said, at the end, you have the cheerfulness. Allow me here to make a very quick note. I don't want to emphasize this too much, but it is important. If you do the retreat well, if many people do the retreat well, it is a very intense activity. So pay attention to this part that I'm going to say. If you suffer from scruples, or you know yourself to have depression, or to be very emotional, make sure that you keep in touch with the priest. If something starts happening that doesn't look good, I'm getting too depressed, I'm feeling despair, I'm feeling a lot of scruples, immediately go and talk to the priest. That is very important. That's normal in every spiritual retreat. That's what you do, because as I said, this is a very intense activity. So make sure if you have any of those conditions, you keep in touch very much with the priest. Okay. St. Ignatius has another note that I think is very important. I'm sure most of you are familiar with Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson is a podcaster, a psychologist. I don't recommend him. He has errors. Obviously, his teaching is not complete, is not fully well. But with all his years of practice and being a conference man, he actually came to the conclusion that St. Ignatius gives you in one of the pages in his books, and is this. There could be an analogy to this in the saying that we all know, give a man a fish, feed him one day, teach him how to fish, he'll never be hungry again, right? The same thing applies in our spiritual life. If I tell you, do this, do that, stop going here, stop going there, give away your television, or, you know, take this vocation. If I tell you what to do, you won't do it. Older men here that you have, you know, those of you who have children, how often does it happen that you have your 20-year-old and you tell him, you shouldn't do this, you know, you should not go here, you should not talk to this guy, you should not be, you know, getting into this risk. And you tell them, and tell them, and tell them, and they don't get it. And tell me if this is not true. Well, don't tell me, but, you know. Suddenly, out of the blue, he comes and he says, Dad, I figured it out. I should never have been doing this. You know, if I don't do this, then I'll be okay with that part. I've been telling you for 10 years. You never told me that. Yes, I did. But it didn't dawn on him, it didn't click until he discovered it. St. Ignatius and his spiritual retreats, he said, it doesn't help if you give them everything digested. You have to give them the starting of it, like the clues, the way to go, and then they have to discover it on their own. That's the reason why we put mental prayer after each meditation. In the meditation, I will give you points, some points, kind of lead you that way, and then I will say, now you go. If I tell you something, this is just amen. But if God tells you something while you're kneeling, that will stay with you forever. And that's the reason why the mental prayer is very important. That is the reason why we gave you notebooks. Make sure that during the talks, during the meditations, what you're seeking for, hunt for this, those of you who like to hunt, everybody, hunt for those points that you want to think about during meditation. Father just said something there that I can dwell on it. I'm going to write it down. Father said something there that I would like to think about after I'm gone. I'll write it down. In fact, Father said something that made me think of something else that will be useful for my meditation. I'll write it down. So during the talks, that is the point. You gather those things, and then in meditation, you try to get God to tell them to you. Very important. That's part of the reason why we also put the sacred scripture reading. Usually, you know, not usually, but sometimes, you know, you might have a movie or something like that. I wanted to make this very intense, and that's why instead of movies or anything that could relax you or distract you, we have very little time. I wanted to give sacred scripture so that you get from the Bible, from the Word of God, another little slap on the face of what we need to accomplish. I want to end briefly. We are sort of on time, but just by making a few other points. During this time, this is a time for you and for your soul and nothing else. You are dead to the world in these days. The retreat depends a lot from you. God will give you grace, but you have to dispose yourself from it. If you take it seriously, you will get a lot of fruit. If you don't take it seriously, you won't get a lot of fruit. It goes without saying. It is very important during these days, as they said at the hall, forget your phone, forget about your taxes, forget about paying your bills, forget about anything else. It's just you and God, and everything else is gone for you. This might be the last retreat you ever do to get to do. This might be the last chance you get before you pass away. This is a moment of grace. The last thing I would say before ending is, obviously the devil will oppose this. These sort of things, these sort of exercises are filled with graces. They can make very great changes in our lives. Think about the possibilities of how many men are here from all around the country, how much good it could do if you become a good Catholic, a good and perfect Catholic. And the devil will oppose that. He'll oppose it by making your toilet not run, or giving you a bad stomach, or making your roommate or the guy next to you talk. And you have to make sure that you don't let any of those things distract you. Focus on yourself. Don't worry about the rest. If the guy next to you comes and starts making jokes or saying something, I don't talk. You don't need to say anything else. That's not rude. That's what we do. I'm here just for me and for God and nothing else. So this talk is obviously just to prepare for the spiritual retreat. We do entrust it, especially to St. Ignatius of Loyola, who entrusted to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and to the Sacred Heart. But let's recap then. We're seeking here for conversion. We're seeking to make a decision that is going to be meaningful in my life. There are three stages. The first one, I need to focus on sorrow for my sins. On the second one, the second stage, I need to focus on decision-making, the conflict. And on the third stage, I need to focus on motivating myself and making sure that I will put that decision into practice. All my mind will be bent on those goals, on those resolutions. And if we do that, we can expect from our Lord to receive graces. Graces that will really change our life for the best. There was one thing that I forgot to say. We have very little time, as I said. This is my recommendation. Make your notes, as I'm saying. Revisit them 8 days from now. Once you're out of the retreat, the next weekend, take some time, go out into the wilderness, wherever you want, spend some hours alone, revisit everything that you discovered on this retreat. 1 month from now, do the same. Put a reminder on your note on your phone to do that. Why do I say this? This is how our brain works. And put it to practice and you'll see. Your memory will, as Father said, what I'm saying today, you will forget it tomorrow. That's how I am, at least. But if you remind it to yourself 1 week from now, it engraves a little bit more. And if 1 month from now you revisit it, it's going to stay. That's how our brain works. So try to do that and you'll see that also that becomes very profitable. We will go ahead right now and say the night prayers so that after the night prayers we can do confessions and I'll just stay in the confessional as long as you want. One other note that I should say, tomorrow after the end of the retreat, I will, as Father said, I will try to be available for counseling. So tomorrow I'll try to be, whenever I'm not here, I'll try to be in the conference room available. And after all the activities are done, I will stay there as well. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention two other things. These are actually important. One is, my bad, it's my first time. One is, penance is allowed. Now, this might be something that you're not used to. It might seem weird. You don't have to. But do penance if you can. I'm going to suggest some things, and this might seem weird because we're not used to doing physical penance. But my friends, where else would we do it? If it's not in this spiritual retreat, where else will we get a chance to learn to do penance? What could that look like? I could be praying with my arms outstretched, not here, not in public. You shouldn't do them in such a way that it causes distraction. In my room, praying like that for a little while, using my belt, taking a cold shower, things like that. You don't have to. Don't risk your health. Don't do anything that is extreme or that could damage you. If nothing else, I can try to eat my food in a way that I don't like it, in a way that is tasteless for me. But do penance. That is a thing that is very proper to men. And this is a good opportunity for us to grab that experience. Lastly, for the mental prayer, I want to give you a quick instruction of how to do it well. I'm going to try to make the talks short enough where we have room for the mental prayer. Sometimes I might go too long, but here's how we should do it. As soon as we're done with the talk, try to kneel down if you can and put yourself in the presence of God. I don't mean to say imagine. Know that you are in front of God at that moment and that He's listening to you. That's number one for every mental prayer that we do. The first thing, put yourself in the presence of God. Then I might make a sign, kind of like that. You start meditating on the talk, what we discovered, the points that you had. And then right before the end of mental prayer, I will make another sign. And that means start talking to God. As soon as you hear that is, now I have to beg God for things. My Lord, help me to change this thing. Help me to change that thing. My Lord, I'm not getting this. This is not sinking in. Help me so that this message from the talk sinks into my soul. My good Jesus, I have this sin. Help me to overcome it. That time is supposed to be you begging, asking, is supplication. So three parts in our spirit, in our mental prayer. Presence of God, super important. Very important. If you don't do this well, you'll get distracted. Meditation, and then at the end, supplication. Talk to God. And that should make it also fruitful. We will go ahead and end with a Hail Mary, and then we will say our night prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. St. Ignatius, pray for us.